James chapter 1. I'll catch up with you in a second. I have been looking now, this is the 10th message on hiding the truth. Don't know where it'll go, don't know when it'll stop. Just going to try and mind the Lord. But the devil wanted to get rid of Jesus. He wanted to stop him from being born. That didn't work. He wanted to stop him from the cross. That didn't work. Wanted to keep him in the tomb. That didn't work. And he did that because he knew Jesus was the truth. And if the truth ever gets out, the devil's in trouble. If we ever listen to the truth and respond and act on the truth, we'll not give in to the devil near as much as we do. We listen to his lies. He speaks to us in our head, our mind. That's where the battleground is. And in Matthew, of course, you'll remember, Pilate told all the people that came, said, you go, you got a watch, and you seal the tomb, and put the guards there, but it didn't work. But that strategy is still the same. He's trying to hide the truth from us. And we are on a part where we're talking about the strategy of Satan and how he tries to use certain things to get us to believe his lies and to hide the truth from us. We have looked at the Satan tries to use deception and distraction and division and discouragement and in doubt. I'm trying to use something this morning and refer to something this morning. I believe it's the truth of any of the others is. Satan tries to use desire. In James chapter 1, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or desire and enticed. You the own desire. There is a lust or a desire in the heart of every person. We're born with it. And that desire is for the ungodly or the worldly. That desire is for self, to please what I want, to do what I want to do. I thought about the rebellious spirit that I used to have as a teenager and wanting to do what I wanted to do. And by the way, that spirit's still inside there, that flesh. And the Lord warned us that the devil will use that desire to get us to do what he desires. It says again, but every man, and that means every person, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Your flesh is not satisfied. Your flesh will never be satisfied. And that's why it's so dangerous. And to make it worse, it becomes more hungry as it's fed. That's one of the reasons why there's so many perversions today. People indulge in some sinful activity, gets to where that's not enough. They have to go further and deeper and darker. That's some reason why there's so much wickedness in this world. You have that nature in yourself. Now, the temptation itself is not sin, but when we give in to the temptation, that's when we sin. The verse said we're drawn away. Notice, not just drawn to, but drawn away. Drawn away from what? That which God wants. That which God desires. When the serpent pointed Eve to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not only pointing her to that which God forbade, he was pointing her away from that which God had given. All the good things God had given, but he pointed her to draw away and to look toward the one thing that God said you cannot have. So the choice is this, to take what Satan points at and draws us to, or to take what God gives us. I say first, Satan designs the bait. That's what he's saying. We're drawn away. I can't help but think about a fisherman who has a worm that fish desires. Man, to hit, I mean, we're talking about Big Mac time to the fish. It is that nature of the fish, that worm, that bait, whatever kind of bait that fish desires, that it is a part of its nature. And the word here where it says is drawn away, it says that it's desires, it's something it hungers for. It talks about there that it's, he is tempted. Every man is tempted. That word means to tempt, like we think about. But it has the idea of scrutinizing. In other words, any good fisherman, I don't have any idea, I'm just telling you, anything I say today is what I've read. Because my history of fishing is about like my history of hunting. I went cutting one time, didn't even see a squirrel, and my fishing is about like that. You go ahead and laugh, fisherman, that's all right. That's okay, I'll eat them. You catch them, I'll eat them. We'll both be happy. But a fisherman knows that a particular fish is attracted to a particular bait. They know that because they, listen, know the fish. They have scrutinized, they have studied, they have analyzed what type of bait does this fish desire? What kind of food is he looking for? And that's exactly what Satan does. He designs the bait. He scrutinizes us. He inspects you closely. I say the devil knows you and me. He knows what we want. He knows the type of person we are. And he designs the bait according to what we desire. We're drawn away of our own lust and entice. The devil designs the bait. That's why it's so difficult to say no to him. Now, I'll be honest, you cannot tempt me with mayonnaise. I don't know how in the world you could. But now, you talk about a BLT with mustard or a taco, we're in trouble. I'm telling you the truth. But there are, hey, and the devil knows what's going to work for you and what's going to work for me. He knows our desire, and he designs the temptation to adapt to our desire. So the problem is this. I don't have to just say no to that temptation. I have to say no to me. Because it's what I desire, and the devil knows that because he's bringing before us that which we want. Isn't that why Jesus said, if any man had come after me, let him deny himself. He did not say to the drunkard, you deny that alcohol. He did not say to the drug addict, you deny those drugs. He did not say to the greedy man, you deny that money. But he did say this to all people, you deny yourself, what you want, what your flesh desires. And the devil, knowing that, designs the bait to draw us into temptation to adapt and to apply to what we desire. I say this, I go on. The greatest enemy you have is you. The greatest enemy I have is me. I am fighting a battle against myself. The worst enemy I have and the strongest enemy I have is me. The devil designs the bait. The devil also disguises the bait. Notice what it says, drawn away. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that fish saw the hook, he would not be drawn to it. But what you mean old fishermen do, and by the way, I appreciate it. I do. I'll tell you what, when I sit down with some flounder, I appreciate it. Though I don't care if you go out and shoot them. Go ahead and blow them up. I don't care, just so I get to eat them. Catch them however you can. But the fisherman knows that that fish will not be drawn toward an empty hook. If he saw the hook, he'd keep on swimming by. So he disguises the hook with the bait. And that worm or that whatever looks so good to the fish. But little does he realize it until it's too late that inside that bait there's a hook that means danger and deadness. And so it is with the devil. He disguises the bait to where it looks good to us. Isn't that what it says about the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Eve looked at it and saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and one the desire to make one wise. I tell you what, that tree was beautiful. And it looked good and it could accomplish seemingly some good things. And that's exactly what the devil does with our temptation, with our bait. He disguises the bait. Now, if he said, watch out, this is going to hurt you. There's a hook in this worm, better watch out. It means, hey, there's danger involved here. This is going to hurt you. This is going to kill you. You wouldn't take part. But he makes it look good. Satan designs the bait and disguises the bait. I say this, he dangles the bait. Notice what the verse said. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, I don't know about this. I've just read that with fish, you have to throw it out and reel it in or let it dangle or let it move or let it jump around or fly fishing and has to go all over the place. I just take them for their word, I suppose. But I know this, the action of the bait makes the attention of the fish. It awakens the attention of the fish and it draws them even more to see that thing moving around and dangling. And that's exactly what the devil does. The fisherman goes to where the fish are and casts in the bait and makes the bait look like the real thing. He dangles it. And that's exactly how the devil does. He brings a temptation to us. There's no telling when he's going to show up. Hey, you can be praying on your knees before God, and right in the middle of your prayer, here comes the devil. You can be out handing out tracts and right in the middle of all that, here comes the devil. By the way, you can be in a Sunday morning church service and all of a sudden, here comes the devil. I say he dangles the bait. He brings it where you are because he knows our weaknesses. He not only knows what to use, he knows how to use it. I said again, he not only knows what to use, he knows how to use it. In other words, he has a trap for you, and he has a trap for me. And if we aren't careful, we're going to fall. We're going to give in. It's too much for any of us. Noah was a just man who walked with God. Moses was the meekest man on earth at the time. Abraham believed God with all his heart. David was a man with a heart after God. Solomon was the wisest man who lived other than Jesus. Peter was a man who had such power, he walked on water. But every one of them fell to the temptation of sin. I say, if they did, we will, if we're not careful. So it's important to stay away as much as we can from that we know is a temptation. So I ask you this, I'm at my message. How in the world do we say no? The devil is trying to get us to do exactly what we want to do. How in the world can you say no to that? I'll tell you, only with the help of God. Only by His grace can we say no to the flesh and no to the devil. We need to learn how to catch the devil. We need an early warning device that's called the Holy Spirit who says, wait a minute, that's the devil. Don't listen to him. If that fish had a womp, 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 some kind of alarm every time a hook went by, he might live a little longer. He might not be on your plate near as soon. And we need an early warning device to warn us that that is the devil. We need to be alert enough to know I'm being tempted. This can't be good. It looks good. Sounds good. Seems like a pretty good idea, pretty good plan. But the devil, remember, he doesn't want the truth to get out. He doesn't want us to listen to the truth. He wants us to believe a lie. Jesus said, I'm talking about, listen, just like the fisherman plans ahead. Now, I may not be thrilled with fishing like you are, but I want to tell you, when I got a good day ahead, maybe get to go play golf or take one of my day trips that I don't do hardly ever anymore, and I know that I'm going to have some time where I can just sort of do what I want to do, I look forward to it, and I plan ahead. And so does a fisherman. You got all your stuff ready. You got all your bait ready. You got all your things ready. You can put everything together. You got your sardines for lunch. You got everything ready. You plan ahead and you go out to catch those fish. And that's what the devil does. He plans ahead. He, one thing, I tell you what, he's evil and ungodly and wicked and vile. And I'll be glad when he's in the lake of fire. But one thing for sure, the fella knows how to plan. He plans ahead. I tell you, are you listening to me? He's already working on your next trap. He already is putting into motion the next time that he attacks us. He's a good planner. He prepares ahead. And therefore, if he does, we ought to. If the fish huddled up in the morning and said, now, wait a minute. We know them people down there at True Gospel. And that they don't like to fish. They like to eat fish. So we better stay away from all the bait and all the hook today. Let's plan ahead. Their day might be better if they did that. And we need to realize this morning, I need to plan ahead. Because the devil's coming. And then maybe if I could just plan ahead and be ready for it when it comes, I won't be so tempted to fall. That's what Jesus seemed to think about. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, watch, there's a trap ahead. Be careful. Pray, ask God to give you grace. Ask God to give you desire to say no. Ask the Lord to help you to give you grace to say no to the flesh, to that that you desire so much. He also said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ought to pray every day, all day, Lord, lead my path today. Help me not to stupidly, unwisely, go down a path where I know I'm going to be tempted. Help me to stay away from that I know is going to tempt me. We need to plan ahead like the devil does, to where hopefully when he does attack, he's coming, we better be ready and we won't fall. Lord, direct my path today and help me to not do what I shouldn't do. How do I say no? Submit yourself totally to God. James 4:7, one of the best verses in the Bible. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Before we resist the devil, we submit to God. Before we can ever have victory over the tempter when he comes in the flesh, when it rises up, we must first submit to our God. Because if I don't submit to him, I won't have strength to say no to me when the tempter comes. I won't have sense enough to know that's the tempter. I'll be dumb to give in. If I don't submit to God, I won't have the wisdom to know what's going on or the power to say no or the desire even to say no. Submit yourself completely to your God. Give your all to him. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Put your full love into God and love him with all your heart. Give yourself totally to him before you even think about the devil of the flesh. Devote yourself to God. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Fellowship with Him. Make sure your walk with Him is right. How do I say no? Avoid all ungodly influence. The drunkard that eats lunch at the bar is a dummy. The ex-prostitute that walks down the old street where she used to sell herself is not very wise. The person who craves for money and wants power is very unwise to go to that financial website. The person who knows their weakness and knows what the devil uses against them, for them to go close to those things is unwise. We need to avoid all ungodly influence. Paul said it like this, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. He says if it even looks like it might be bad, if it even looks like it might be wrong, don't go near it. There are times as Christians we're told to stand and to fight and be faithful. But there are times we're told to flee, to run, to get away from. David fled from Potiphar's wife. The Bible's full of things like flee youthful lust. There are some things we ain't supposed to say, God's going to help me and stand up to it. We're supposed to stay away from it. How do you say no to the flesh and no to Satan, stay away from all ungodly influence. Proverbs 4:14-15, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. He says, treat it like a den of rattlesnakes. If you've got any sense at all, you're going to run from snakes. Especially poisonous snake. And there is something more dangerous than a rattlesnake trying to get each and every one of us. And if we play with it, coddle it, ignore it, don't treat it like an enemy, don't treat it like a dangerous, hateful, angry enemy like he is, the devil and the flesh, going to get us. It's going to get us. Stay away from all ungodly influences. You may have to say no to some things that other people think somehow they can participate in. But you know the Lord tells you don't do it. That's why we need to realize how important it is to stay away from anything that even looks like it might be bad. Stay away from it. Avoid it. The next thing, recognize the price. That fish, my, what a worm. I'm telling you, I hadn't seen a worm that big and that juicy in a long time. I'm telling you, I'm going to enjoy this. And he does for a split second until he finds there's a hook in the worm. He realizes too late that the price is too high. And boy, I want to tell you what, when the devil's drawing us and the flesh is drawing us, it looks so good, it looks so inviting. If we aren't careful, the only thing we'll think of is, man, that'll make me happy. Well, that'll be good or feel good or this'll satisfy. But what we need to realize and look past that moment of pleasure will be followed by a time of pain. There is a price to fall into temptation. There is a price, fish. Stay away from the bait with the hook. When you consume it, you'll be sorry. But it's too late to regret when we're already done it. There's a price. I tell you, how do you say no to the flesh? How do we say no to the devil? Realize it's going to cost me more than I want to pay. I got a question. If you are looking for a new car and you find the exact one you want, the exact color, interior, everything. I mean, it is, you're in your wildest dreams, you could have never come up with the car, but sure as the world, there it is. Got a question. If the salesperson says, we got a deal going today, and all it's going to cost you is 10 times more than it's worth, I want to ask you, does your desire for that car all of a sudden lessen? I hope so. Because you're going to say, as much as I want it, and as much as it looks like exactly what I desire, it costs too much. I am not paying that price. It's too much. We need to do the same thing with temptation. Because when we give in, it's going to cost us. It'll cost us answered prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He said for the person who has sin in their lives, their prayers are an abomination to Him. He in essence says, if you won't listen to me, I won't listen to you. And when that bait looks so good, we need to look past that momentary pleasure and see the pain of saying, what in the world are you going to do if later on your grandchild's involved with a wreck and they're at the point of death and you got to get a hold of God. And you fall on your knees broken and the first thing you think about is not your grandchild but the fact that you failed God. And you know that sin's still there. And before you can say please, you got to beg God for forgiveness. I tell you, it costs too much. It's the cost of prayer. It's the cost of power. We cannot have power with God if we have known sin in our lives. And when that bait looks so good, we better look past that momentary pleasure and see the loss of power, the loss of His touch. It's too much. It costs too much. And listen, this thing of sin, giving in to temptation, the cost is so far beyond what we even think or realize. Our peace, our joy, our burden, our desire, our excitement for God, our desire, our love for Christians, our hunger for God, just get multiplied. Known sin in our lives when we give into temptation, that's what it costs us. We need to look past that momentary pleasure of doing what we think we want to and realize it's going to cost too much. It costs way too much. And I may be happy for a moment, but I'm going to regret it for so long. And listen, for the day or the week or the month or the year, God told David, the sword will never depart. You have done something you'll never get over. I'll forgive you, yes. And you'll be restored and I'll use you. But there'll be some things you pay for the rest of your life. When the tempter comes and it looks so good and the thing that we desire, the thing we think might make us happy, we need to realize it's going to cost more than it's ever worth it, no matter what. Well, let me move on and finish. How do we say no? By filling your mind with the Word of God. I thought this morning, there's so many people burdened, so many people going through trials. Y'all got up there and sang those songs that spoke to my heart about trials and burdens, and one day they'll be gone, but we ain't there yet. We're still here in the nasty now and now. And I thought even while y'all were singing, oh, we need to learn how to get to God with our burdens and take them to Him and leave them there. I want to tell you one thing. We need to learn how to put our petitions at His feet. We need to learn how to put our temptations at His feet. And learn how to get help from Him. And one way we do that is by prayer, of course, but also by getting in this book. Do you know how Jesus, and I say this because it's in the Bible, humanly speaking, I suppose is the right way to word it, but you know how He was victorious? And I know He was God, But you know what he used? I'll say it like this. Here it is. You know what he used to turn down the devil? The Word of God. And I want to tell you, when the tempter comes, quote Scripture to him. He'll love it. You'll make his day. Find you some verses that identify with your temptation. Learn them. Be able to quote them. To where you don't have to rush to the Bible. You got it in your heart. And when the tempter comes, you quote those verses to him and you quote those verses to yourself. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Find you some Bible. It's your sword. It's your weapon. It's the way you can defeat self and the devil. And then lastly, and I'm done. When you're victorious, don't forget to go back and thank him. I'll tell you one thing, if we're ever victorious, it'll be because of him and his grace. And you know me, I got a problem with people who don't say thank you. And I believe it's justifiable. When the Lord gives us grace and we're able to get through it in victory and have victory over our flesh and the devil. And it's got to be him that did it. We dare not forget to go back and say thank you. I don't know the nights. I've kneeled beside my bed and said, Lord, thank you for carrying me today. I know it's the only way I made it through. I don't know how many times I got up in the morning and said, Lord, thank you for carrying me last night and yesterday. I know you did it. Carry me again because I can't make it myself. When he helps you, thank him. Give him glory. He may not help you quite as much if you forget him the next time. Well, I don't know if you know or not, but we have an enemy. And the enemy is trying to keep the truth from getting to us. And the truth is, this morning, he hates you and he hates your God. And he'll do anything he can to hurt God and harm us. And unfortunately, he's more successful than we want to admit, more successful than he ought to be because we let him win. This morning, I want to ask you, number one, are you saved? Do you know for sure you're born again? That your sin has been forgiven, you have been birthed into the family of God, and you belong to him, you're one of his children, you are a Christian, and your life is controlled by the Holy Spirit, by God, and if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, you know that for sure. If you don't, this altar's for you. I beg you to come and pray. But if you are saved, I want us to realize the devil is actively involved with our lives. As much as God is, the devil is. And he's trying to get us, listen, to do exactly what we want to do. But the Lord said, I've got something better. Eve, don't look at that one tree. I've got something better. This morning I'm asking us all to realize the danger of the battle we're in. And I'm asking us to at least consider coming and praying for the Lord to help us and give us grace. There may be some who has to confess and get some things right first. Would not surprise me. But I'm asking you, realize the battle you're in, the enemy you have, and you don't have to lose. But you need God's grace to not give in. Let's stand together.